It is now time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. This one is going to be extremely special. It is called Mic Check. From Bob Marley to Alicia Keys, the globe-trotting sound engineer, the man who creates the sounds that amplifies the music. His name is Mr. Dennis Thompson. Anthony Turner, please introduce our guest.
Eras Clem, our special guest, as you see on Mic Check this morning, he's audio engineer extraordinaire. His name, Dennis Thompson. And, of course, Dennis grew up listening to the music of Louis Armstrong, Patti Page, even Beethoven and Mozart. And today he handles the live sound for pop star Alicia Keys and numerous other big superstars. He's been to many places with Alicia, including touring the U.S. He's been to Paris, London, and a number of other places. It took a while before Thompson was hitting the road in the 1990s with jazzman Marcus Miller, or in the control room at the 1988 Grammy Awards with Quincy Jones, giving the nod on how he was handling Michael Jackson's audio. And long before that, Thompson was the timekeeper at Studio One, mastering engineer at Randy's and touring engineer with the Wailers. He started playing the piano when he was just 7 years old and later turned down an offer to join the Catalites, instead suggesting Jackie Mattu. He started working at Randy's Records with Errol Thompson, eventually mastering songs for Delroy Wilson, Gregor Isaacs, the Honorable Dennis Brown, Bob Marley. Thompson would go on to tour with Marley right up to his final concert in Pittsburgh. This was on September 23rd, 1980. In between those multiple treks, he also worked with Jimmy Cliff and Burning Spear. His association with Reggae Crown Prince lasted up just before his death in 1999. Thompson continued globe-trotting through the 1980s and 1990s, handling sound for Sunsplash Doors and dabbling a bit in dancehall with Supercat in the early 1990s, and also encountering Max Priest, Sizzla, and Capleton along the way.
Wow. So before all of this trotting the globe, Mr. Dennis Thompson, how did this all started, sir? Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Good morning to you, gentlemen. Nice to hear from both of you.
Hi, good morning, Dennis.
Hold on. Is this one person we are talking about, Anthony? Huh? Is this one individual?
Boy, it's an extraordinary journey, and I can't wait for Dennis to share with us and the listeners about this incredible journey.
Now, Dennis, as I welcome you, sir, before you started trotting the world as a sound engineer, how did this all got started, sir? How?
With a little turntable that my father had. Father, we used to call them gramophones, radiophones in them days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a turntable and radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right beside my crib.
Mm-hmm.
So every day they were coming and, putting some load of some 78s and, Cap Calloway, Frank Sinatra, all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this music and I watch this thing, go through the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up watching this and learning and listening.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it started even before that. I was born in a dance hall,
Wow.
Ten Lisson Road. It used to be a nursing home. Miss Buckley's a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 years later, it became a dance hall. Mm-hmm. With a song named V Rocket.
Right.
Now, at the time, we live now at 7 Ely Central, which is in front of number 10. So every Saturday night, you'd have V Rocket over there playing it with the dance. I have my radio phone beside my crib. So for the next 4 or 5 years, that's all I knew.
So basically, Dennis, you were set up by your parents. You were really set up to be who you are today. And just to be clear, when Dennis said he grew up in a dance hall, mm-hmm. dance hall wasn't a music, people. Dance hall was a place where dance used to keep. That's the original dance hall. And I remember as a little boy, when I was 18, I went to my first dance hall, student union, over at the University of the West Indies. And right. I thought I was grown then, you know, Dennis, because just leave high school and can go and dance. Hear some big sound I play in a student union. But, you know, listening to all of that now, Dennis, you grew up understanding the music, listening to the music, listening to Mozart and listening to Beethoven and listening to all these legendary singers. But what got you into this? Well, you grew up in the dance hall. And as it is said that you are the only, or you are the first non-Blake to play a maritone sound. How did that happen? How?
Well, That is a whole episode in itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up with the sound system, well, I say like V-Rocket, Lord Coles, mm-hmm. Tom, Sebastian, Great Sebastian, Cox, Joe Creed, Edwards, I became hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So, one night, move on a bit. We migrated to us to the hometown series, Billy's hometown in El Toro.
Mm-hmm.
We used to play a lot of the Kingston Guyana era, which we, you know, grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular Saturday night, Billy's hometown wasn't playing it over at West Avenue. So them guys decided that they're going to Wembley. So I said, what are you going to Wembley for? Why am I sold from St. Thomas to the Maritone playing about it?
Mm-hmm.
So what they married to. I saw from St. Thomas, but they're not listening to no country song. I'm not going to listen to no country song. But I wouldn't take a time. I walk over doing somebody to Dr. Dickie's or somebody like that. You know, I'm over Penn Street.
Mm.
So I'm saying, nah, man, I'm going, man. So it turned out that what I 18 people, I was the only one will be left on the avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, make a go. So we jump on the Fernandez bus, number 12. And get over to Wembley and reach on Jackson Lane, I think, and turn into Wembley. And the man put on a record in Via Candies by the Drifters. Now, as somebody who loves music, when you hear a good record, you know, you have to acknowledge it.
Yes, sir.
And I said, but this Via Candies is what I know by Les Ford, and Les and Mary Ford, you know, Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Mm-hmm.
On a Capital, and I know the label because I have the record of 78 Black Art Silver Capital label.
Mm-hmm.
But this version sounds really nice.
Right.
And the next record the man and play was, I think, was a Smokey Robinson. I said, but it's only different.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my introduction to maritone. Only to hear that, find out eventually that we're all KC, old boys.
Mm.
You know, and I started to build a little set there at the time. And I said, like, take records over to him, mm-hmm. to Winston. And that's how the relationship grew, you know?
Mm-hmm. 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 So now, you ended up as a KC old boy playing a maritone sound, the same country sound where you say you're not going to listen
same,
to.
Same country sound. Listen to me, man. We became a family, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We became very close. I got to the stage where I was teaching. We had to drive.
Mm.
And everybody didn't work.
Anthony.
Yeah, man, boy, the story is a long journey. But Dennis, I don't know if this Anthony Turner was the Anthony Turner that met you in 1989 on that Reggae Superfest tour as the road manager for Stitchy.
Mm.
So that's when I first met
yes,
you.
But, yes, 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 yes,
yes. I remember that tour, right, yes. With Copeland.
I'm Freddie,
yeah,
and
Dennis.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But before we even get to that tour,
no, we're not getting to the tour. Hold on. Ask him something.
Yeah,
the tour.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, man. So what I wanted to talk to you about, because your days as a KC man, and I'm seeing here that you, if there was no Dennis Thompson, there may not have been a Jackie Mateau, the legendary keyboardist. So talk to us about that whole, because you're the one who introduced him to the Scatterlights. So talk to us about that.
Well, Jackie, I'm going to say we sat beside each other at school.
Mm-hmm.
I was going playing, I was going to music lesson, and I was being taught classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So I could read. But Jackie could play by ear,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't, I really didn't develop that talent yet, you know. So we used to sit down on the music at the desk, and I, you know, show him like a thing about, you know, the criteria, and we would exchange the music ideas and all that kind of stuff from third form,
mm-hmm.
the fourth form. So one day I was going to school, and I didn't have a period till after lunch,
mm-hmm.
and I ran into Lester Sterling going into a cab. Lester just lived like four houses from me in Kingston Garden.
And that's Lester Sterling.
Lester Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to practice with him too, because sometimes being the only one in the whole crowd who could have played music, I used to like, you know, practice with him and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I said, "Scare, where are you going?" I said, "Boy, I'm going to studio one." I said, "Hold on." He said, "Well, I'm going to start 10 o'clock, but I might finish about 12:30. So I said, "I'm coming." So I kept walking home, put on my books, and I'm going to jump in the cab with him. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in the studio now and party. That was life changing,
mm-hmm.
because you walk into the studio and see Lloyd Bribett and Lloyd Nibbs and Dan Drummond, Roald Alfonso, Tama Cook.
Wow.
I don't remember what's playing. I think Mr. Gladdy was playing the piano that day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all these, you know, legends. And then I walk into the control room now and see the tape machine and the console and all that stuff and the speakers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, go back in down in the studio and say, well, that first June. But the thing is, now, like, them couldn't see the horn players. Got to be on the screens.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I do, I start at the corner, and when lights start to count, 1, 2, 3, I do the same hand motion, so you know. So after the first tune, I'm saying, but you know what you're doing.
Mm.
So you stay right there, sir. So we do 4 songs a day.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that when I went back up into the room and the man played the tape, it never sounded the same way that as I was hearing in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm busy. It's one track, but recorded, you know, everything going at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never used it like, you see, nowadays, you mic every instrument and everything mic.
Mm-hmm.
You should get a thing called ambience mic. So you use one mic to pick up sometimes 2 drums.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's also going to be a little space in the music. But how it was done, it worked out. But being in the room and then going to the control room, you can hear the difference. Mm-hmm. But of course, I can't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If I say anything, well, there's problems. So I keep myself quiet. Anyhow, back to school next day. And Jackie told me, now, what happened yesterday, Tama?
Mm-hmm.
I was always known as Tama, never Dennis, always Tama.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to that one, you know, and give me the whole rundown. And I said, what am I looking for a keyboard player?
Mm-hmm.
He said, and then you that man. I said, no, pardon, my father don't want me to do that. You go up there. You were gone because he used to play in a band called The Rivals, out of Harborview.
Right, right.
You know, at the time, Jackie come to school after and play the night before, man. Tired. Mm-hmm. I said, man, go sit down, beat, man. I tell him, what's it, you know, let's turn out of that. And Jackie left, said him go the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
And him never come back to school?
Never come back to school. So I said, go and see.
So hold on.
I'm at the window seat, so I took over the window seat.
So that was the birth of Jackie Mattu becoming a member of the legendary group, the Scatterlights.
Right.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this Saturday morning, and Anthony, this is shaping up for about 2 or 3 weeks, a conversation with Mr. Dennis Thompson, because now here is the birth of the legendary Jackie Mattu being a part of the Scatterlights. But then, take us back now, because it seems as if now this is where the whole creativity of sound engineering started, because you now sneak out of school one day, you go a student one, and the music start to be created then. You worked with the legendary Robert Nesta Marley. How did that happen? How did that got started?
I was doing a lot of mastering at Randy's.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew Bob before, you know, especially the days when they were still trying to get the records played and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the struggle to get your, you know, people, you know, it's going through a struggle to get your music played. So I used to play in Meritone, you know, I made sure that I used to go to downtown and pick up the all the stuff, you know, the new stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We supported Wheelers because Wheelers was, to me, the newspaper of Jamaica. We didn't want to hear what is going on in Jamaica, but it's still Wheelers like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so I started calling the Meritone and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we got, we wasn't really close, but you go and heal up each other and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started working around this, you know, and they used to call me like, on a Monday morning, come record all that kind of stuff. And we start, but I go up on tour soon. I said, which tour? And I'm like, well, call you up there. I sent you the for the weekend. I come back up there about tour. So it became a standard joke between all of us, you know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I said to me, well, they say, you know something? We're going to sign a contract. We're going to go on tour. We're coming for you. So I'm going to say, well, all right. When you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we start building a relationship. And I start doing mastering for like, for Bono Whaley, a song called Arabi Whip and Roadblock and Curfew. So, earliest, you know. Anyhow, I left and came to, I go to school.
Mm-hmm.
When I applied to school, the man offered me a job. I said, I don't come for the job. I want to come to school to learn, get a, you know, degree. So you already graduated.
Mm-hmm.
You already know more than what everybody know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my school in New York. No school then.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing the studio, you know, work on one-off mixing songs and all that kind of stuff. Horace Sandy and Brad's, you know, thank God that a record, a piece called
Brad's Record.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing a lot of stuff for him and hanging out there. Oh, and then I got a call that Bob gave a number for him to call him. I said, Bob called me for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't pay the mind. I went out to a friend of mine, I was stored on 161st Street, Deep Sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Deep Sound said, well, Dennis, Bob just called looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him. I said, what happened? I said, where was I show Philadelphia, you know, tomorrow? I want you to come in.
Mm.
So he said, well, we're on tour. He said, we're on tour coming.
So this is a tour now. I'm not going to St. Elizabeth this time.
No, it's the real thing now. So, but of course, I would tell my wife this now.
Mm-hmm.
And no, she agrees. There's not a problem.
Right.
So I get down there and I get down to Philadelphia. And his show at the Tower Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, only to discover now, this is a whole different ball game now.
Right.
This is not no student business.
Mm-hmm.
You have this two shows, and you have every newspaper in the country there ready to write a report on this morning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if the report is not good, that can be the end of reggae music.
Right.
The end of Rasta, the end of Bob Marley, the end of me, the end of everything. So if you think you never have any weed for your shoulder, you need to experience this.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the only part of it. The equipment coming from New York was late.
Mm.
So no sound check.
Dennis Champ, Dennis Thompson is in this new world now because this is not studio work. This is the real thing.
This is a new dimension in life.
You're on the world stage now because the New York Times, the Philadelphia Daily, everybody's there wanting to write a story.
Exactly. This is the rest of my vibration tour, the first show.
Mm. Wow.
Everything depends on this. No sound check. Equipment is...
late.
Well, you can't blame equipment.
Mm-hmm.
The equipment can work, but you have to know how to work it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm green. Mr. Green, you know, in other words, that if you look, they've got a banana leaf. that a light green to all green I was.
Wow.
And my assistant was not really help.
Wow.
The console is a brand new console with no writing at all.
Wow. So you have to figure it out.
So you better figure it out. You start using common sense to start to use back to common sense as well. And they run this console.
Mm-hmm.
The EQ was and everything. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be in that area. Well, buddy, then the show starts, you know. If you never believe in God, you and God will miss that show tonight.
Wow.
Because you don't know what to do, and the Father telling you, find the main vocal. So you find the main vocal, you put that up, and you make the artist, then you find the backing vocals, you put it in the house and everything. Then you work on the rest of the stuff.
Wow.
At the end of the show, my face, my jaw hurt me for about 2 weeks straight. Because you never clench your teeth yet, Father, trust me, that clench for the next hour and a half, not never more.
Wow. Now, the big question is, how was the show overall? How was Bob?
Great.
Wow.
Great. In other words, after we get through the first two songs and everything settled down,
mm-hmm.
magic.
So now we can officially now say this is really the beginning of greatness to come. Dennis Mitchell, Dennis Thompson, Tomo in Philadelphia, engineering for Robert Nesta Marley.
Future king of reggae.
In front of the world. And the show turned out to be great. No.
Yeah,
I don't want to fast forward anything here, you know. But Anthony, listeners, think about this. Think about what Dennis just said. Because this led Dennis Thompson to be seated next to Quincy Jones. Mm. Handling the audio for the King of Pop.
A tour king.
At the 1988 Grammy Awards. We're going to talk about that, you know, Dennis. But now, leaving Philadelphia. What was next? What was next for Dennis Thompson as this sound engineering, amplifying the sounds for Robert Nesta Marley? What next for Dennis Thompson? Where was the next stop?
The next stop?
Mm-hmm.
I think I went to Boston, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Boston. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But the one that stick out in my mind is that we came back down to Georgetown, to Washington,
mm-hmm.
Georgetown University.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you leave a theater, and you know, into a gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
Different zone.
No, it's not different zone. A whole different ball game.
Because you're in a hollow building now.
It's concrete and steel.
Ah.
Mm. And I guarantee you, know, if you go back there in this year, what is it, 2022,
mm-hmm.
And stand up in the back, you will hear the reverberation of get up, stand up the way the echo was going down.
Wow.
And of course, reggae is bass oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you hear the first note, all the next song started still hearing the first note for the first song. You know?
Still an echo.
Okay.
Still an echo. So you better be mindful and be extremely careful what you touch next.
Yeah, better believe it. But I tell you something, though. It's a great way to learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it's your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Whalers had a certain amount of discipline that if I go and say, listen, gentlemen, this room is a booming room.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to turn down so we can hear each other.
Right. Dennis, Dennis, all your thoughts there. The computers are going to take over in 30 seconds. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest is sound engineer extraordinaire, Mr. Dennis Thompson, from working with the likes of Robert Nesta Marley all the way across the globe and coming back here to these United States, working and doing some work with the great Alicia Keys. The man has sat next to Quincy Jones, handling the music and the sounds for Michael Jackson, from the king of reggae to the king of pop. Stay where you are, ladies and gentlemen. We're just getting started. This is Groovin' Radio.
Oh, 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 jamming to the radio. Yo, this is Jack Critique singing tune to Groovin' Radio. You got it, Groovin' Radio. On the mic check with your host, Ras Clem. Remember, I told you.
And thank you so much to my very, very good friend, Mr. Jack Radix, who grew up in Old Pastor's Jamaica. The man tried to keep goal for Old Pastor one time. I'll leave that alone. As I welcome you back to the final 24 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning, we are in our featured segment. Our very special guest this morning is sound engineer extraordinaire, the legendary Mr. Dennis Thompson himself. Anthony Turner, our writer, is also a part of the conversation. Welcome back, Mr. Thompson.
Yes, sir.
No, so we're in this auditorium. We're in this open space down in Maryland. You're doing this event, echoes all over the place. Now, what was that like for Dennis Thompson, working the sound engineering in that room?
Well, I listen. I listen in discipline. I listen in loudness, and you know. Mm-hmm. You're like saying in the music thing that less is more. Mm-hmm. So instead of turning up your things to where you it is the whole place blasts with just one instrument and mm-hmm. everybody has to get louder than you, it's going to be chaos. Mm-hmm. So if you turn it down to where you can hear yourself and everybody can hear themselves mm-hmm. and let the room work with the room, you can have a good show. Mm-hmm. So this is what we have to do eventually. That was my another major lesson in live sound. Mm. As I said, I was totally green, so this is like my third show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. so you have to learn, and you learn on the fly, and you learn. And you work with a man like Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn fast.
What was Bob like? What was it like working with the great Robert Nesta Marley, the king?
A distinction.
Wow. Wow.
In other words, then he won't ask you to do one thing. Just do your best.
Mm-hmm.
You do your best. You have nothing to regret.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because in doing your best, you're late. You know, you can talk about things. You know,
mm-hmm.
What you like, what you don't, what you dislike, and what you want from him, what you want from you, and mm-hmm. kind of stuff. You know. You become a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they said Bob was a workaholic and a perfectionist. Was this true?
Perfectionist? Yes, because he wanted things done right. You know what is right, and you know when it is right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work with him, being a perfectionist, he must want it done right, properly. Proper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you
don't know what you're doing, mm-hmm. so I say you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will come and show you, so you don't make the same. You don't have to go back again.
Mm-hmm. And you could see it in his work, you know. You could hear it in his music. I mean, you can just envision a Robert Nesta Marley. No, when you listen to the work of Robert Nesta Marley, listen to the lyrics and you listen to the sounds and everything. Yes, yeah. And working with Bob then at that time, it mean you had a direct connect now. To the birth of the Melody Makers. Did you work with the Melody Makers?
I produced the first record that started them out.
Ah, what was that like? Working with Bob?
In the street.
Mm. Mm.
Well, the thing is, Bob had a lot of music on tape, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be finished. A lot of music, but the thing is, a lot of them didn't have, there are no vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had, they call guide vocals, pilot vocals. Some of them didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I'm going through some tapes because there was no name on the boxes. So I'm going through them to find out what, you know, label them properly and all that kind of stuff. And it was with me. So I come across the song, and the song was so catchy, man. So I said, it's Gollum Skipper. I said, Skipper, who's this? I'm so made it for the, in thinking about the kids singing it. Cheering, playing in the street. I said, well, that's a great idea. So when I'm going to sing it, so when I get old, I said, yeah, that can't work. By the time I get older, the tempo changes, everything changes, sound changes. But them said, I'm too young. I said, no, man, I'm not too young, man. You must hear them upstairs when you're not here with the drums and guitar up in having a ball.
Mm-hmm.
So them said, you can do it. I said, yeah, man. So I went out into the yard and I called him. I said, Ziggy, that chief coming. You want to come sing a song for me? Yes, Uncle Dennis, I'll come sing a song for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, children playing in the street. Them say, yes, man. So them called Sidel and Sharon. Set the microphone and everybody in there, man. I have headphones and in the tape and some singing in the A, some singing in B, some singing in C sharp, some singing what they want to sing. Now everybody having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, but them go through the whole motion and enjoy themselves first before I really get serious with it. But Bob is a man, you know, after two or three times, you know, he wants something done. So I said, no, I tell you why, you leave me with them. So he left and I sat down with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, we're going to do the song now individually. So Ziggy went in and them sing, got a lot of punches. Steve went in, Sidella, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way it's going to be pitch perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, kids singing and being out of key here and there, that's the human part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my little thing, like editing here and there and all that stuff, and nobody said, all right. So I decided to say, I'm going to mix this song tonight because there's nobody in the studio that's right. And I spent the whole night working on the song. Next morning, I came in. There were a virgin in Boston. He was a roommate called Ginger Tea with Cinnamon and Thyme. It's the greatest drink you could ever have in after you work all night.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Boston came with him with a bamboo cup. I said, Boston, listen to this tune. So I played for him, say, he's a kid that I say, yes, he's got children playing in the street. It's about them somewhere. I say, yes. Because that's they are, and the song is good. So he think it's a way they hit. That's how things are tough. Everybody came in later on, Bob came back, played. Everybody approved it. What are you going to call them? The Marley kids. They said, no, they're going to grow up. There's a newspaper called Melody Makers out of England that used to write a lot of good articles on Bob. And for some reason, Ziggy used to like it. As you say, you know, Melody Makers, I say, you know, so that's a perfect name. So that's the start of Melody Makers.
Yeah, man, so that was the genesis of the, so how it was decided who was going to be the lead? Did Ziggy naturally have that voice that you thought he could have been the lead singer?
Yes, Ziggy was always the front man.
Mm-hmm.
He was like in reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
He always been a reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Sidella, a lot of potential, but she was really interested in that part of it, being like up front.
Right.
You know, she might have sing one song of it, but she had to, you know, Sharon was okay too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, as I listen to you, Dennis, I want to go back to something because I really want to know something that we spoke about at the beginning of this interview. The birth of Tommy Mottola. Did he ever pay you? Did he ever pay you? Because when you look at what the Scatterlights turned out to be, one of the best band ever put together in Jamaica. Tommy Mottola ever pay you, Dennis?
Tommy, yeah, man. Tommy, I'm saying, matter of fact, I remember years later on, I ran to them and mm-hmm. said, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. The boy, the one that's true, the one make some, you know, one do album. I said, "All right, I have some facilities, you know, that can work for you." And we got together and did an album called, Boom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, so.
No, as we.
Listen, we paid each other.
All right, sir. All right,
sir. Paid me, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. So as we move forward in Dennis Thompson's career, I'm going to just jump to the 1988 Grammy Awards. Dennis Thompson working a room with Quincy Jones, handling the music of the King of Pop, handling the audio for the King of Pop. How did this happen? This little Jamaican brethren go to Kingston College, Skull School, and go to Studio One. With Lester Sterling. How did this happen, Dennis Thompson?
Your father working mysterious ways. This is all it's supposed to be, and only God could have made that happen, partner. Trust me. Because I had no inkling of what was going to happen later on. It was just a feeling, it was a love. But it was a great experience, man.
So was there any similarities between the King of Pop and the King of Reggae in terms of their work ethics and how they do their, how they handle their business?
No, they were both perfectionists. Because I remember years ago, I wasn't there, but I remember Seiko telling me about when the Jackson 5 came to Jamaica, and they were all up at Hope Road and all that kind of stuff. So they knew each other, you know. But in other words, then we were doing a rehearsal for the Grammys. And this, about 3 hours into the rehearsal, Michael said, "Go for mix, like I said, mix 414 and whatever tape, and bring up that track." And I'm saying to myself, "No, if you remember mix 114, you must have gone at least 500 mixes for my 114.
Wow.
Because I know we're mixing a Bob Marley album. We have sometimes 40 mixes of one song before we decide which is the one we're going to use. So it's the same temperament, the same caliber, the same way of thinking. You want the things done properly, you want it done right.
No. From working with Robert Nesta Marley, working these rooms, working these different venues, from Reggae Sun Splash to the Grammys. I mean, you look at Dennis Thompson's career up until that point. Did you have any idea that when Dennis Thompson started out listening to Beethoven and the little radiogram thing next to him, crib and all of that, and building his own little sound system and playing on Meritone sound, did you thought that all of this could have happened to you as a Jamaican, you as a little black man?
No.
No,
but you just maybe all work and the people you deal with, I know you deal with people. You know, they remember things that they call you.
You have worked with some extraordinary people, Dennis Thompson. What stands out in your mind when you're sitting behind those huge boards with all those keys, all those buttons, all those knobs? The memory. What's going through your mind, Dennis Thompson?
I hope I have a good show. Although there's always a percentage of nervousness that you go through, but you know, you just have to have confidence in what you're doing, and the other people that you're working with and that kind of stuff, it becomes a team. So you know, it works.
You know, Anthony, it is said that persons like Dennis Thompson is behind the scenes and always been behind the scenes. But without a Dennis Thompson, none of us would be walking away from any of these events saying, wow, Michael Jackson sound good tonight. Bob Marley sound great tonight. I mean, all of that, Dennis. I mean, was because it seems as if a lot of this was self-thought, huh?
All self-thought. All self-taught. And it is because there were no schools when it really started this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, technical, yeah, some technical schools, you know, yeah, Kingston Technical.
St. Andrew, right.
Yes, mm-hmm. But you're taught that, like, the theoretical part of it,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How to fix this, you know, circuitry and all that kind of stuff. But recording techniques and all that stuff, you have to learn by yourself. There's a guy that I learned a lot from, Graham Goodall.
Mm-hmm.
Got some
Australia.
Yes. Luke, Delroy Butler. Mm-hmm. He worked at JBC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some good engineers. Linford Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Sticky Parks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from those days, some JBC, RGR days.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
There's another man who was in charge, M.G. Robinson, was in charge of the whole technical section of JBC.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from him too.
You mentioned Sticky Butler. Any relationship with Radcliffe Butler?
Brother.
You know, they were my neighbors, you know, my mother's neighbors. They were my neighbors. And when I tell people that I know Dennis Thompson for a long time, long before I was born, I probably knew Dennis Thompson. And it is coming full circle, Dennis, because this is only week one of the conversation. This is only week one of the conversation. But I asked you a question about the whole, even Sound Splash, Reggae Sound Splash. Working a Reggae Sound Splash. I mean, that's an open-air thing that we all walk away from saying, wow, Sound Splash was a blast. Hmm? What were those days like, Dennis Thompson? Hmm?
Well, I had a great team with me, which is major, because we knew festivals like this, you have to have some set changes and all that kind of stuff. So he does just me alone, he does a whole team.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy, we had Robert Chuckle Stewart, you know, a guy called Zola Burst, you know, Horace Brown, a whole barrage of Jamaican, mm-hmm. a great Jamaican crew.
Mm-hmm. But Dennis, I mean, having been on the tour with you and see how meticulous you are, and I mean, I came to your house once and see the archive that you have there. But tell us about the gems, because you must have some gems that, boy, if you put those out, they probably would blow people's mind with all of the tours that you've been on, all the artists that you have produced songs for and all of that. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, there are a few exceptional ones, but it will all come out. Because I'm in the process now of digitizing them and all that kind of stuff. You know, and some of these are all done on old cassettes, you know, which a lot of noise and stuff. So you know, reprocessing them, you know. Bring them over and take out all the noise, so you need it sound clean.
Mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned from working with Robert Nesta Marley to Alicia Keys, we haven't gotten to Alicia Keys yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot of blank in between that needs to be filled. We want a
tremendous amount.
We want to start filling that blank next week, Saturday morning, Dennis. So could you just set aside next week, Saturday morning, for part two, please? Hmm?
I'll let you know. Don't hold me to it yet, but I'll let you know.
Because we haven't even gotten to that last performance.
Oh, yes.
The King of Reggae.
Yeah.
The Honorable Robert.
Okay, and let's spend 3 minutes, exactly 3 minutes on that piece, Dennis, before we wrap up this morning. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
The final concert. The king, the icon, Mr. Tuff Gong himself, What was that event like? Playing Bob, working Bob, Lassie?
For me, it was just a great, just, for me, it was going to be just a nice show after the Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
It got right, two good shows at Madison Square Garden. So for me, you know, this is like the start of another segment of the tour. I had no knowledge that he had a medical problem in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Because the second night when I left Madison Square Garden, I was running a temperature, I mean, it was 101. So I went to him and take some medication and get myself back together. I came out again. But when we went down the setup and they were like, for sound check, he came in and was singing the song, Another One Bites the Dust. I never heard it. I never knew the song before. So I said to him, is it a new song? I never, you know, when did he do that? He never answered me.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid that man. Baba better having him just do what him do. You know, if you like to answer, you just don't answer you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do what I was doing and read a sound check, and it wasn't that exceptional to me. You know, they got like a feedback here and there, sort out and read a, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the show and after, while loading out, I got a call to come to the hotel.
Mm.
So I said, what are we in the hotel for now? We had two tractors, I said, load and all this gear and all that kind of stuff. Then someone's come to the hotel. No. They sent a car for me. So I went in, get in the car. Get over to the hotel, get into the room. Of course, I don't know what's going on. I was bouncing like this. Why? Can't disturb me for man. I have a million things to do. What's going on? And the look on everybody's face was that.
Wow.
Just shut up and listen.
Wow.
This is serious. In other words, then, you know, sometimes people look at you and just look at them. You can know what is
going on. Get a message.
It's something serious.
Mm.
So I said, okay, what's wrong?
Dennis.
The door is off.
Dennis.
Leave the cliffhanger here.
Dennis. Dennis. Dennis.
You must come back, Dennis.
Dennis, we're going to pick it up.
I'll let you know.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the voice of Sound Extraordinaire, and we talk about a legend, a living legend, Mr. Dennis Thompson, the man who creates the sound, the man who have trod the word in terms of working as a sound engineer. From the likes of Robert Nesta Marley, to Alicia Keys and many others in between, Mr. Dennis Thompson, our very special guest this morning. I got goose pimples, bro. I got goose pimples. Until next week, Dennis, please. Until next week. Want to pick it up. Thank you so much for being a part of our conversation this morning. All the very best, Dennis. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Always.
All right, Dennis.
We'll talk next week.
Cool.
Thanks. Anthony Turner, the legendary Dennis Thompson.
Oh, and this is one for the
wow.
For wow. The arcade.
Wow. Anthony, we'll talk later. We're going to have to pack up and make room for the Wake Up Radio team. Colby, Moxie, and Sister Diva is lining up for a great show. Later on tonight, Soundchat Radio at 8 p.m. Anthony, I'll see you later on at the launching of Jerkfest. Talk soon. Yep. Groovin' Radio was executively produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to our presentation real quick this morning, Omar Arthon and also Stephen Clark joined us in our community engagement segment. Golden Cross giving back to education. Anthony Turner, he gave us the ER report and he provided the bio for a very special mic check guest this Saturday morning, Mr. Dennis Thompson. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Mr. Jovan Johnson, waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour. It's the Wake Up Radio team with Carl B. I have to run. See you tomorrow at 6. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.